we're waiting on the comrade.
Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
Somebody authentic who's actually really into it.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
He's going to lisp his way through the whole program.
And Kale Hall.
I'm here so I won't get found.
The Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast.
And welcome in to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show Podcast. Hey, thanks for joining us. Enjoy yourself some, yeah. Enjoy a little bit of this. The theme song here. Yeah. That'll get some panties wet right there, by God.
All right. I want to eat 4 days a week Chinese pot stickers.
Kale's killing us. By the way, the gentleman that you hear is, of course, one third of our show. He is the ball man from the upstate. He is a big teddy bear, unless you are a Clemson Tiger. He is, of course, Kale Hall. Kale, welcome into your show.
Welcome in, brother. And great to be here. And you are absolutely right. I have a big teddy bear. Unless, of course, you happen to be a Clemson Tiger. Unless you're the female variety, and then sometimes I can be persuaded.
Yeah, it's called 36 fucking C. That's how you convince Kale, by God. Speaking of which, we also have another member of our show. He is the comrade Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
That one, right?
It's good to be here. It's great to be a Gamecock. Little Muschamp for the press conference today. Show what a great leader he is. Kind of getting things going for the season, hopefully.
Yeah, well, there you go. I was hoping Will Muschamp would be a leader and tell us how many of his players actually contracted the COVID, or how many athletes at the university did, like every other college in the country. But Will Muschamp is a fucking pussy who is so scared that if any of his players find out that they've got the COVID, if anybody else finds out, my God, we may not be able to beat Coastal Carolina if they have that information. You don't understand. That's the way that Will Muschamp thinks.
That's dumb.
Well, it isn't dumb. He's so dumb he doesn't know who's on the schedule. He's still game planning for Coastal to get one of those four wins this season. My God, your coach is a shithole. Your coach, you have the worst coach in the conference. I'd take Derek Mason over your coach. Who's the ball boy for fucking Vanderbilt? He's a better coach than Will Muschamp. Serious. We'll go with all of them.
Was the ACC.
Whatever. You don't own shit. You don't own shit. Anyway, we have lots of things we're going to get into this evening. An update from Clemson today is I have gotten some interesting information from several sources. We'll explain that to you in just a moment as folks watching on YouTube can see the comrade's son there, who, by the way, is already a better athlete than the comrade will ever dream of being. That young man is going to make a hell of a third baseman there for Monty Lee and the Clemson Tigers. So there you go with that. All right. Anyway, lots of stuff to get into this evening. I want to get to that Clemson update, but I want to thank our sponsors, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart. Go by and see Cheddar Bob, Billy, all those guys at Callaway's. They will take care of you. You can order your food, get it picked up curbside so you don't have to go in. Of course, if you do go in, they're following the governor's mandate, wear your mask, etc. You can go in, have a beer, as long as you don't congregate at the bar. There you go with that. Also, we have Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport, who I called just before we went on the show, by the way. Own segment with the comrade. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. I wish I had a man with the character that Dabo Sweeney has to run my football program. The SEC is going to 10 conference games. That means we could go 1-9. We are not that good. I should stop thinking we are worth a when we are not. Benny Wilson hates me. I am the reason Kale Hall pisses in his sink. Don't say that. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Real talk, Mike, I did not know your son would be sitting next to you. Otherwise, I would not have written that. So my apologies. Tell Miss Jane to come over here. She wants to fight me. I ain't scared of her. Anyway, I want to get this Clemson news out real quick, if you don't mind, gentlemen. And then we'll get into some of the other stuff I want to talk about this evening. There were two players that did not go to weigh-in tonight or this afternoon with Clemson. One of them being Xavier Thomas. The other one being the new wide receiver, the big recruit out of Canada, Aju. What an interesting name that is. So from what I've been told by several folks, that it is some, they're being told that it is COVID related is what I've been told. So they may be in quarantine, they may have been exposed, or they may have the virus. I don't know. We'll see. But from what I've been told, there's lots of people fantasizing about stuff out there. From my knowledge and the folks that I have up there that are on campus or near the campus that are covering the stuff, it is a issue of COVID-19. If they do have the virus, I think that everyone that's here wishes them well and hopes that they recover. It is a serious thing, and we don't want anyone to have to deal with that. But it's kind of strange because, and Mike, you've been following this COVID stuff a lot, and everybody has, to be honest with you, but they've kind of been in a bubble, and it's still bubbled up, basically. Interesting. In the, you know what I mean by that? Just kind of, wow.
Yeah. Well, here's one more thing, too, and I don't know,
damn it.
I've been kind of reading, got the guy's name now, but there's a premonition here that next week and the next 10 days, a lot of college football players are going to opt out. And so you could be seeing these two players for Clemson maybe are in the process of opting out too. Maybe they don't have COVID, and that could be one of the things too, because there is some sentiment around the country that a bunch of players throughout the country, all kinds of teams, are going to opt out for the season.
Yep, and that, that may be happens, happening.
You want to, so that could be it too. Hopefully, I'm not saying, I'd much rather than be opting out the Clemson players than be sick, because you never know what can happen if you have that.
Right.
But that could be an option too that I kind of look for, that there are people who said over the next 10 days you're going to see a lot of opt-outs. We'll see if that happens or not.
It's a mess. I mean, it really, really is. And once again, we goof a lot on this show and we say horrific things to each other, but we don't think that we don't want anybody to be dealing with this COVID. So one other thing I want to get out there before we get into we have a preview with Oregon we're going to do. Clemson kid over here is upset about which weight surprised you the most. Clemson kid is trying to control the show, ladies and gentlemen. I guess we're just supposed to do a show just for Clemson kid. Whoever this guy is over in YouTube, in the YouTube comments. And then he says, on whatever, bye. Sir, we have a flow for the show that we're doing. And you know what? If you don't like our flow, I'd love to hear your show. Happy to hear your show. Calm down a second. We're going to get to it, too.
ClemsonKid.com.
Yeah. The ClemsonKid.com podcast. Feel free to call in later on when we open the phone so I can shred your silly ass when you try to tell us how to run a fucking show. Holy shit, dude.
I don't know. I can't see the comments, Rob. I just pull it up and it says, StreamYard, live viewer comments show up on StreamYard. This is an example.
That's weird. I can see the comments, Kale. We may have to you may have to refresh your feed there, buddy. Mike, can you see the comments? You can see the comments,
yeah,
right?
I see the comments. I can see them, yes. The way that surprised me was Xavier Thomas's weight being zero since he didn't weigh in. How about that? That weight surprised me.
Okay, well, here's the other weight that did surprise me was, and I'm going to go ahead and when I give you this, Kale will be interested in this too as a Carolina jackpot.
I see him now.
There you go. Weird. So we fixed it, Kale. Anyway, the one weight that surprised me at the end of spring practice, or the start of spring practice, the last time they had a set of weigh-ins, Travis Etienne weighed 210 pounds. At weigh-ins today, he weighed 199 pounds. That, my friends, sounds COVID-ish. Is that, did I just make up a word, comrade? COVID-ish? I mean, dropping.
Me.
I'm just saying, like, you drop 11 pounds like that, and he was a guy that had been putting on muscle. That's kind of strange.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I have to see what he looks like, but he could be just trying to get leaner, get faster, you know, trying to get his NFL stock up there, which I don't think he will, because running back's NFL stock is, it's not that high. But he looks, because he, this is a 190, this is a healthy 199. Looks like he's been just, you know, really kind of getting himself cut, or is it like 199, but hell.
And yeah,
a shredded 199 or a sickly 199.
Is it like Rocky? Is it like Rocky Balboa, Rocky III, when he shredded down when Apollo Creed trained him? Is it like that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he kind of got him faster chasing the chicken, you know, and he gets leaned down. Is it that 199? Is it that? Is it Rocky Balboa, Rocky III 199, or is it, you know, a different kind of 199. That's the question.
I don't know. I just, that's the only weight on there that surprised me. Go ahead, Kim.
You people had what, like 35 players with it, but they didn't release any names, right?
No, there were 47 Clemson athletes, so it could have been football players, could have been whoever. Pigskin Pete, a friend of the show, said at 210 he was still the fastest guy on the field. 199, I mean, I'm not mocking the kid. I'm just saying I was kind of shocked about that. I thought he would have beefed up a little bit to maybe 215 or so, because if you remember, after his freshman year, he kind of got popped in that Alabama game, and he really hit the weight room hard and beefed up a little bit more, and he went from being just a guy that could give you just a crazy quick burst of speed to a guy who could shrug off tackles. Ask Ohio State about that, and move his way into the secondary if he needed to. So Pigskin Pete agrees with me. He'd like to see him at 215. There you go.
Pigskin Pete confused right now, though, because you said, how many Clemson football players should athletes, like there's a difference, okay? And Pigskin Pete's like, what are you talking about? You know, so Pigskin Pete, just so you know, there are other sports at Clemson, and it could be the athletes who play other sports at Clemson. I know you get confused in that. So we're trying to help you out, Pigskin Pete. Pigskin Pete.
In honor.
215? How about 215?
Well, he weighed 211, 210 last year.
I don't know. 215 is real beefy.
In honor of Pigskin Pete and what he would probably say to the comrade, here you go.
I'm a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt.
Exactly. There you go. Thank you, Pete.
You know what drives me up about Pigskin Pete? On Twitter, he'll quote tweet people, and the people he quote tweets have me blocked. And so I don't know what the hell's going on.
How about so, you've been an asshole to so many people? Your dumbass was tweeting at Kelly Gramlich the other day, who's never done a fucking thing to you. What has Kelly Gramlich done to you?
Because she said something stupid. She tweeted something stupid. Like, she didn't. Oh, I know what it was. She said, it makes no sense that you can't drive 120 miles for a Clemson Carolina game, but can, you know. And I'm like, I don't get that. I'm like, when. It's been kind of talked about why that is. It's not about distance, okay? And I simply said to her, why don't you ask Dabble to explain it to you the next time you go play a pickup basketball game in his house? Simple as that.
Well, there you go.
Her partner blocked me because he got caught in a lie. He got caught in a lie about it because he tried to say he didn't, and he did. Oh, I always told you I didn't. Anyway, I just was trying to. But she didn't do the bait, though. She didn't tweet me back. I don't think she blocked me. She might have. I don't know.
Well, she sees you and realizes that she's not getting anywhere.
To that point, talking basketball, men's basketball, also, I mean, on that show there, she was a guest on the Walt show. I think she was like a guest host of it this week. And she knows her shit, but football, dumber than a box of hammers.
Well, she's probably the best Clemson basketball player in history of the school.
Are you fucking kidding me? You're just saying dumb shit by the gallon right now. You realize that, right?
I'm just saying, your basketball program isn't exactly known for greatness.
Fight for us, Amir Sims.
Your best fight by Horace Grant, we found out through the documentary that basically he was Jordan's bitch. Like, you don't feed him.
Okay. Tree Rollins.
Tree Rollins.
Yeah. About Tree Rollins. Tree Rollins didn't even ever even play on color TV. Come on, man.
Tree Rollins is a good player. What are you talking about?
Okay, well.
You don't like Tree Rollins?
Tree.
Tree Rollins.
Great name, though.
What a great name. Yeah, well, he was a big, long center.
Bring up something in the last 4 decades.
Last 4 decades? I mean, we've had some good players. I've interviewed Terrence Oglesby. Oglesby's the best shooter I've ever seen in person. Flat out. So, there's that. What? You don't know about good shooting? You don't know anything about that, Kale. Tell us about a good shooter, Kale.
We're a Final Four.
You're not a Final Four program. We've been through this before.
Yes,
you're
we
not
are
a Final Four program.
Program.
You're not a Final Four program. You are a program that is a shithole. You're a program that is a level two, comrade. I'll agree with you that you're a Final Four program if you agree that you are a level one violator with the NCAA. Okay. Well, then it's not up for debate that you are a level one violator in basketball. Thanks for that. So there you go with that.
And the women's were an athletic program. So, I mean, that's how it is.
So, let's see here.
In the league.
What we got? SEC Dog says, Rob, I heard Notre Dame is coming to take over the ACC. SEC Dog, we've had this discussion before. You lost to a 4-8 South Carolina team. So politely, go to the hedges and go fuck yourself. They pulled out plenty of room. So you have plenty of room. You can go right into the dam, into the hedges, and politely fuck yourself. Couldn't beat South Carolina.
There's not enough of the hedges left after we ate all of them.
That's right. They left a big enough hole for SEC Dog. He can go out politely fuck himself. Alec Richardson joins us tonight, and I'll put his comment out there. This is great. Hold on. Alec Richardson is an Oregon fan. He says the Lady Ducks would have destroyed South Carolina. What? That is a shot over the bow to South Carolina because yeah, watch them get all mad. Watch them get all mad because watch them get all mad because women's hoops is all they got.
The best thing happened to Oregon with the COVID, so now Oregon could pretend that they were in the same class as Carolina because of the COVID.
Out of here.
Okay,
I was hoping that
real life would have been a stark reality kind of reminder that your program isn't up there. Okay.
Still, I'm hoping old Marcus Mariota would join us in the chat tonight.
Well, yeah, because we're going to do our Oregon preview. And I guess we can start with that now. Oregon last season, as we look at them from last year, they were a team that, well, they finished 8-1 in the Pac-10, but 9-4 overall. So, yeah, 8-1 of the Pac-12, I'm sorry, 9-4 overall. Mario Cristobal is their coach in his third year with the school, 21-7. And, you know, the big thing with Oregon for me, and I'm going to say something good about Oregon, and we'll let you guys do if you want to do the bad or the ugly, but my good thing about Oregon is that they return 11 of their 12 starters from last year's on the defensive side of the ball. This is a defense that ended up with the most sacks in the Pac-12. They were lights out great, giving up about 16 points a game. The one linebacker that they're missing was one of their best players, but they're replacing him with Justin Flo, who I think is going to be a freshman All-American. He is absolutely outstanding. And they got another linebacker. What's that?
I was saying J-Flo. That's all. Good. I was just talking to myself.
Noah Sewell is the other linebacker on the other side, and he is outstanding as well. A lot of – when you think Oregon, and I think it's just kind of built into our head, we think Oregon, we think offense. I like the Oregon defense to be really, really good, at least to get them through the Pac-12. Kale, do you have something good, bad, or ugly to say about Oregon?
Well, as long as you're talking about defense, I'll talk about offense for a minute. Something good is that they return 2,000 yards worth of rushing and about, let's see, 18 touchdowns on the ground. So there you go.
Solid.
Justin Herbert. Who?
He gone.
Yeah. He gone. That.
Yeah. Well, with that, do you have something good, bad, or ugly, comrade, to say about Oregon?
I'm going to go offense as well, and the one person that they're not coming bringing back is Justin Herbert, the quarterback, who I thought was overrated. I didn't like Justin Herbert. I thought he was a product of their system, and I think he's going to be an absolute bust in the NFL. I will say this, though, the quarterback they have this year, okay, is only threw like 15 passes last year, Tyler Shuck, okay, S-H-O-U-G-H, pronounced Shuck, okay, Pitt's compete. Make sure you know that. Anyway, Tyler Shuck, number one quarterback out of Arizona. He's highly recruited. He's more highly recruited than Mariota and Justin Herbert, okay? Better rankings. If you go by the recruiting rankings, and it's always great. But I think he comes in with all kinds of skilled guys around him, and I think he'll be the best Oregon quarterback since a guy named Dan Fouts. Look it up. So I think Oregon will steamroll. One, there's a big gap between them and the next best Pac-12 team. And I think Oregon is really, really good if they play the season this year. I like their offense a lot, their defense you mentioned before, but I think their offense is not skip a beat this year. I think the quarterback they have, the Shuck kid, is going to be really, really good. He's more of a pro-style player than, say, Mariota was. And Herbert, I don't know. Justin Herbert, I just not like the way he played. Not sold on him. But I think he'll be a big-time quarterback for Oregon and come right in the system. And I think he's going to be the best quarterback out of Oregon since Danny Fouts. Mark it down.
Wow. At least the comrade's hanging his balls out there. We'll give him that. Let's go through their schedule really quick here. Actually have their actual real schedule in front of me already set up with who they're going to play. Heavy favorites up and down for Oregon this year. They start at home with Colorado on Saturday, September the 26th. ESPN's FBI has them at a 95.9% chance to win this game.
Road game.
Oh, it says... Am I looking at this wrong? It says it says versus Colorado. It's not at Colorado. It's versus Colorado. It's a home game.
I don't know. The magazine, I'm looking at Athlon, and it says at Colorado.
Yeah, I think that they redid it, Kale, because of the COVID, where they had to do the whole 10-game schedule thing.
Okay. They played them at home last year. So.
Yeah, but from what I'm looking at here, and I think the only thing that will slow them up early against Colorado is if they just come out with just being flat. But I don't think Colorado will score more than 9 points in this game. I think Oregon rolls in the opener. Mike, what's your pick?
Yeah, I don't think Colorado is going to match up well with Oregon there. That's a big time blowout there. Take the Ducks.
Ducks big time. Kale, who you got?
I take a blowout win by Oregon as well. Yeah. I mean, they gave up 3 points to Colorado last year. They might not even score three. I don't know who their new coach is, by the way, but that program is
shithole.
It's
a shithole.
Yeah, it is.
Ever since the preacher man they had that was up there, you know, the whole religion thing with Eric
Bill McCartney.
Yeah, Eric Bieniemy, I think, was playing
Mike
up there. Whatever the hell his name is. I don't remember.
Eric sleeping with Bieniemy.
Yeah, Bieniemy. There we go. Ever since Bieniemy was up there.
That's the 5 5th down touchdown dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there
that's
you go with that.
Shit, wasn't it?
That was some shit. The next game on the
schedule.
Well,
they just weren't going to go back to that replay of that. Nobody in the fucking stands was like, no, it's fucking over. That's fourth down. I mean, everybody just went down along with it. And then after it happened, they kind of realized, hey, wait a minute. They had 1-2. Yeah. That was nuts.
That was nuts. Up next for the Ducks, they play at Washington State. Washington State, 88% chance, according to FPI, that Oregon wins this game. I don't think Oregon's going to be challenged here for a good bit, to be honest with you, but I think they beat up on Washington State. No more the Pirate up there, so we'll see how things go up there on that. But I think that they roll over Washington State. Lots and lots of rushing yards that they will accrue as they head to Pullman. Mike, what's your pick with this game?
Same thing. I think we have a football season. I think you can make some good money this year taking Oregon and laying the points. I think they're just going to be a team that the point spread won't match up with. So they're good to kind of lay the points. I take here in a blowout. They're really good. It's too bad they don't play Ohio State early in the year to find out
That was going to be my next point. I would like to see them play Ohio State because I think they would mouth hump Ohio State. And then we wouldn't have to hear these Big Ten fans.
I think you could have seen that for sure. I mean, a normal season on the road, probably one of the most anticipated games in Oregon football in some time in terms of an out-of-conference game coming there. It would have been a crazy scene, and it would have been interesting to see. It would have showed you either A, if Ohio State's really good, or if Oregon's for real. So it's too bad this has gone to shit in a shit basket here. But it would have been a great game to see and kind of see where Oregon is. And if Oregon would have beat Ohio State, it would have basically locked them up for a playoff spot, because you couldn't hold the Pac-12 being crap against them, assuming they went out and ran the table. They would have basically, that win, if they wouldn't beat Ohio State, that right there basically gave them a spot unless they totally tripped up in the Pac-12. But you couldn't use the Pac-12 sucks as your argument against them to beat Ohio State. So it's sad we don't get that game early in the year to kind of measure the two programs.
Ken, what do you think about this game?
Washington, are we talking Washington State or Washington?
Washington State.
Okay, this schedule has got to totally be redone from what I've got. Yeah, I think Oregon will score a lot of points. I think Washington State will score a decent amount of points, too. They got that coach, Nick Rolovich from Hawaii, and contrary to what his name suggests, he doesn't roll over and play dead. They just roll up a lot of points. They still will continue that air raid system, but I think Oregon will be too much for them. That could be like one of those 63-31 type games or something,
Yeah, it could be there's going to be a lot of points scored. It may be a point a minute. You never know. But I like the Oregon defense, though, but I think they beat up on Washington State on the road. Up next, a home game with Arizona State. I've read a lot of stuff where some folks think this might be a tripping up point for Oregon. ESPN's FPI has them in a 92% chance to win this game. I don't see Arizona State beating Oregon at all, in my opinion, at home. I just don't see it.
You play to win the game.
He has to suit up if he's going to help them win, because they're going to need a lot of help. I think that Oregon wins this game by a couple of touchdowns at home. Mike, you can go next.
Yeah, if the game was at ASU, maybe. I'm thinking a normal year, but ASU is tough at home at times and can pull the upsets over the USC's and the Oregon's and the Washington's there at ASU. But on the road in Eugene, I just don't see that happening. So I would take Oregon to kind of run away late, maybe. Maybe ASU keeps it close for a little bit. Herman Edwards, I tell you what, let me tip my hat to Herman Edwards. I thought he'd be a shit show, disaster in college. I really did. Especially when he first took over, and like he seemed like he was just clueless about how the college game worked. And he's done a really good job. Like, he's done a really good job there. And they've been a lot better than their talents have been. They've won some games they shouldn't have won. So, I wouldn't put it past ASU, but I think it's a little bit too tall of a task. Oregon's just really loaded.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Kale, what do you got for Arizona State, man?
Shout out to Marcus Aurelius from YouTube, from Lutube, actually, over there. How you doing, sir? I think Oregon wins this one comfortably. revenge spot too for Oregon. This was their only Pac-12 loss last year.
Yep.
It was an upset loss on the road at Arizona State late in November. So look for them to take it out on the Sun Devils this year. I think they're losing a little bit offensively and probably won't be quite as good as they were in 2019.
Real quick, for some of you young Sparkies out there, some of you high school kids listening, if you are thinking about going to college one day, and, you know, listen, I recommend you go to Carolina. It's the greatest school in the world. But say you want to get away, I strongly recommend visiting Arizona State University. What a campus. That's a great scene. It's a great scene. I'm not sure you can get my studying done. But it's a really good scene. If you're looking for the college atmosphere, my dad lives out there. I've gone out there a few times, and I'm telling you right now, if I would have gone out there in 1991-ish, I'm not sure I would have been a Gamecock. I'm going to say I think I might have been, you know, going out west. It's a really cool place. So there's something
to think about. Mike, speak to the climate of the area there for a minute, because I know a lot of us here, especially like myself, and probably no one that's really on the stream ever spent any time in Arizona, but I'll look and see the weather in Phoenix, and it's like 110 degrees, but I've been told it doesn't.
It's not the same. No.
Feel like 110 degrees in South Carolina.
It's not. It's. I played golf out there in August. Okay, I would never golf in Columbia in August. Okay, and I went golfing in August there, and it was like 105 degrees, something like that. And when I got done, I was not sweating. The only sweat I had was under my belt. Like, you know, you take my shorts off, like where your belt is, it was a little perspiration around there. It really is a dry heat. It's hot, but it's not like you don't sweat through your shirts and stuff. It's just different. It's really weird. You go downtown, and every business downtown, and most houses, my dad's got one too, every back porch has misters. Like a mister that comes down, like this, that spray. Like every place does, it's just kind of a common thing. So it's cool. It's a cool place. Then we drove up to Sedona. we drove like an hour away from my dad's house in Tempe. My dad lives in Mesa, and there was snow on the ground, like up the mountain, and you see people sledding. It's a cool place. We saw John McCain's house in Sedona. He was still alive back then, but you saw where huge ass house. It's a cool place. Like, you know, it's pretty. My dad retired out there. My dad's from New York. Okay, so, and he was about 5 years before we retired. He started going on retirement tours, like trying to figure out where he wanted to live. He thought about coming down south. He thought about, you know, going to San Diego. Then the California taxes are horrible. And then he went to my dad's a Syracuse alum. He went to a Fiesta Bowl game back a long time ago when Donovan McNabb was playing. And he had a great time at the Fiesta Bowl. And that kind of, when in the back of his mind, he kind of had, you know, Tempe on his kind of, or Mesa, that area on his radar. And so he loves it. He goes to Arizona Fall League baseball games. He loves that. He goes to spring training games. He loves that. So he lives in a golf course. He golfs every day. That's all he does now with the COVID going on, is he golfs.
But, so in a weird kind of roundabout way, your dad has Tommy West and the crappy 1995 Clemson football team to thank for living in Arizona now, because that win of 41-0 in the Gator Bowl helped springboard Donovan and the Syracuse Orange to a more successful season in the next few years, and they end up in a bigger bowl, in the Fiesta Bowl, in Tempe, and then your dad attends that. And it's weird the way things work out.
That is true. That is true.
Your dad could have ended up, and mom could have ended up in Florida. But, you know, they choose Arizona.
That's true.
So that's weird. He has Tommy West to thank for it.
Tommy West. That is very true.
Anyway, moving on to the next game for Oregon. Oregon plays at Oregon State. You know, this is like I don't remember what they call this rivalry, but it used to be really good. Yeah, the Civil War. There we go. It used to be like a big, huge deal, but then Oregon just started beating the piss out of them. 91% chance that they win, according to ESPN's FPI. I don't see Oregon State doing much. They may be chippy in the first quarter. But after that, I think that Oregon just rolls and wins by 17 points. Mike, what you got?
This is the first meeting that won't be called the Civil War, by the way. They dropped that name. Did you hear about that?
I did. That's kind of stupid.
So, which probably makes no real sense. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's the Southwest. It's just kind of whatever. But I understand what it's in state. But yeah, I just don't see Oregon State. I don't see them competing. So that's kind of a long shot there, too. I just don't see a team in the Pac-12 that really can hang with them.
Yeah.
Oregon's going to have that really bad day. Going to have to play a really bad day, kind of be sleepwalking, and be get caught by somebody. But even then, I mean, I think the gap between Oregon and the next best team in the Pac-12 is bigger than the Clemson gap between the next best team in the ACC. I think the gap is actually bigger.
Kale, what's your pick on this, man, in the game formerly known as the Civil War?
Well, Oregon State was a horrid shit show 2 years ago. And last year, I mean, Jonathan Smith, who used to be a quarterback for Oregon State, was the coach there. I mean, they really came along and ended up finishing up the season 5-7. Of course, not qualifying for the postseason. They finished 4-5 in the Pac-12. So they made some great strides. But this year, they're only returning 3 starters on offense, but 6 on defense. I think they can keep it salty enough. I think he's got some people buying into a system there. So I wouldn't be surprised if this game not be a little bit closer than what people think. Last year it was 24-10 Oregon, and I would think that they would win this year, but I'd say probably by a couple of touchdowns again. But Oregon State's getting better. They're getting better right now. Just that would be just a tall ask for them to knock off their in-state rival there.
Alex says that OSU has some good linebackers, so yeah. Maybe, you know what, I didn't really preview Oregon as well as I was looking over my stuff.
You only have one or two?
Maybe one or two. Up next, we've got Washington. That game is on the road. 86% chance that they win there. You know what? I think Oregon wins a close one here. Another game where they could get tripped up a little bit, but I'm having a hard time to pick an upset. I have to think about what could possibly be in the mix for that to happen, and I don't think Washington's got enough. Roll with Oregon as they win that game and probably win it pretty big. Kale, you can go first.
Yeah,
or Mike can go first. I don't care. Figure it out. Fight about it.
Well, I was going to say, in a non-COVID season, this game would scare me a little bit because Washington's one of the few places in the Pac-12 that actually have a good atmosphere for a home game.
Not to blow you up here, but this game now is scheduled to be a home game according to the new COVID schedule I've got in front of me.
So originally I thought it was supposed to be at Washington, I thought, but maybe
right.
But so once again, that's not going to be their schedule sets up for them really nicely then, because that is a trip up game. If it was on the road in the non-COVID season, Washington's the hard place to win on the road, but they get a break there, so they'll roll as well.
Kale, what's your pick, buddy?
Yeah, I think that Oregon wins this game because they don't think Washington's very good. I mean, you look at their season last year, they finished 8-5. They were 4-5 in Pac-12. And then their coach, Chris Peterson, he quit because he was burnt out or something? Is that what it was?
He's got Urban Meyer chest pains.
Yeah. Here's what I know.
Think it could have been that 4-5 Pac-12 record?
All I know is that
for God's sake, they lost to Colorado. They lost to fucking Stanford, who was terrible last year, and then they lost to Oregon and Utah as well, and they lost to fucking Cal.
Yeah, but in the final game of the season, they stomped that Boise State ass. They beat the shit out of those Smurfs, man.
Well, there. I mean, too little, too late, man. I mean, and then now this coach, this Jimmy Lake, is the coach now. So I guess bringing in some kind of new system. I don't know. I don't know who that is or where he came from. But
sounds like a car salesman.
I don't. Yeah,
just saying. Sounds like you rolled up to him and he's like, "Hey, my name is Jimmy Lake. Welcome to Lakeside Dodge, and I've got this Dodge Neon that I will sell you for $899.99. You only have to put down 4%, and then we'll give you a balloon payment of $17 million at the end of your 18-year lease. Sign right here." That's what it sounds like. Maybe that's not nice, Rob.
Yeah, I don't think Coach Lake and the Huskies are going to have a real successful season. I don't see them beating Oregon. So there's that.
Yeah. All right. Up next, as we roll along with our Oregon preview tonight, we've got Cal on the road at Cal. 79% chance to win this game at Cal. You know, I think it's complicated to go through every season undefeated, and I was trying to figure out which game that I liked that I thought that a team could pull off an upset, and the only upset that I feel really comfortable with is Cal. So I'm going to take Cal to win this game. I think that I like what Cal's going to put out there this season, and I don't think it'll be like a big blowout type thing, but I think Cal will pull off the upset because I think it's hard for anybody to go through a season undefeated. So give me Cal. Mike, where are you going with this one, buddy?
I don't think they have a chance. I don't think Cal's very good. I mean, Brandon McElwain couldn't even start there. That's how I guess they're pretty solid.
Why are you knocking Brandon McElwain when he's not even there? That's just not nice, man. He's not even there anymore.
Just for the people who didn't think we didn't give him enough shot. Should have given him more of a chance. Went to Cal and couldn't even play in the field for Cal. So anyway, it is the alma mater of Aaron Rodgers. This is probably why you like Cal. Let's be honest, you Packer fanatic. You love your Aaron Rodgers.
Who doesn't?
So I'm sure that's why your thing comes in
who
there.
Who the fuck doesn't?
So no, Cal is not even close to Oregon. Oregon will have to be asleep and then have like 10 things go against them bad break-wise to lose this game. No way.
All right. Well, Cale, what do you got, man?
Yeah, I don't – I mean, Cal, that's is the – this is another team to me that has all the excitement of a wet fart. Remember I talked about Pitt having all – is the West Coast version of Pitt. All the excitement of a wet fart. Last year, looking at them, I mean, they finished up 8-5. I mean, they really didn't beat anybody of any substance. I mean, yeah, the road win at Washington, I guess, was a decent win. But, I mean, their other wins, they're just ho-hum. And they do return 10 starters on offense. So, quarterback Chase Garber seems like he's been there for a while.
Yeah.
He's back. I got a running back who's rushed for almost 1,000 yards coming back. So I think they could keep it competitive. But I still like Oregon to win this game. I'm liking them to possibly go undefeated in Pac-12 play.
Well, we move along.
I just don't think Cal has the Jimmies or the Joes to keep up with them.
Maybe they'll have the hose. That can always help. The whole train.
Yeah, it certainly could.
Southern Cal's the next game on the list as they will play at home against the Trojans. 69% chance to win that game. And with that, I'll go first. I think Southern Cal's a fraud. I think they've been a fraud for a while now. I think their coach is dead set on he's coaching for his existence, but I just get the vibe that they're just flat. When I think Southern Cal, it's like a bottle of RC Cola, just flat, that's been sitting out in the sun for a while. Not very impressed with Southern Cal. Oregon wins that game, and they pull away late to take out Southern Cal. Cale, you got the Trojans or the Ducks?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Oregon in this spot. Now, that this quarterback for USC that came on last year after JT Daniels went down with injury, the Keaton Slovis kid, he's pretty good. Could be like a dark horse Heisman candidate, according to some folks. I'm not sure about that. But they've got some dudes at wide receiver, man. I mean, they really do. They're going to put up some points, and they're going to cause some problems for some people. This game being in Eugene, I think will definitely help out Oregon. So I like them to get the win there. Oregon blew them out last year. So let me take Oregon in that spot. But I think USC put some points up on the board. They got a lot of experience returning on that team. They're pretty decent.
All right, Mike, what do you got?
Mike?
Southern Cal, those of you don't know, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I had a fascination with Southern Cal. I love the Trojans. I love their way they played. So, you know, deep down, I still have a little love for Southern Cal. That being said, I think they're being kind of overhyped this year. People think that – I just don't think their talent is what people think it is. And unfortunately for Clay Helton, I think that's going to kill him, because I think there's an expectation that Southern Cal is, you know, on their way back. And I think if they get slapped around, which I think they're going to get slapped around, I'm not sure what his buyout is. I'm not sure he's going to survive that. But Southern Cal should always be better than this. I mean, the fact that Southern Cal is not as talented as Oregon on a yearly basis is kind of – don't get that.
But with all due respect, they have top 20 classes every year. It's not like they got a bunch of bums that are coming to play for them. So I don't know if it's a combination of.
I think they're a little bit maybe overhyped.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be combative here. I'm just saying Southern Cal consistently has some great classes. And for some reason, they don't mesh well together. Because you can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't mesh well and you don't have the proper setup, it's just not going to matter. And I don't think they've been behind Clay Helton from the start. I think they wanted his ass fired from the beginning, almost like Muschamp, where everybody's like, man, fuck Muschamp. I think it was the same way with Helton. There were some folks that kind of liked him, but in reality, they were like, nah. Now you know what? Those sorry sons of bitches at Southern Cal are wishing they would have kept that damn crazy fucker that's coaching Ed Orgeron down at LSU. Can't understand his ass, but hell, he'd be at Southern Cal. He'd be lighting him up like a damn Christmas tree right now.
You know why I don't like Clay Helton? He's not a big enough name for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you've heard the reports they didn't like Ed Orgeron because they couldn't understand what he was saying. That's real talk. Look what he did.
The best coach they've had since John Robinson, you guys go back to John Robinson, has been Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll was like their fifth choice. And like they were disappointed that's who they got. And of course Pete Carroll became, you know, the best coach in their modern, I guess John Robinson's still modern, but in terms of the run they had, I mean, they had an unbelievable run. And if they would have had a playoff system back then, if they had a 4-team playoff system when Pete Carroll was there, they would have won a lot more, because a few times they lost a game here and there that kind of knocked them out. And they go to the bowl game and destroy teams and look like, man, it's a good thing they're not playing, you know. So they were unreal. So I was always curious what would have happened if they would have been a playoff system during their run. I think they would have won a couple more times. But I'm surprised. I don't think it's that hard of a job. They should be a Pac-12, you know, champion most years. And the fact that Oregon's been better than them, you know, for what, the past decade, okay, as a program, it's just really strange that would happen. I can see it happen once in a while, but Southern Cal should not be. There should be a, you know, they should be always the elite of the Pac-12.
The cream of the crop of the Pac-12, yeah. I agree with you on that.
They do on the distinction. What was that? Was it 2005 national championship? Was in 2006? Was that the Rose Bowl? The national championship game against Texas? Best football game I've ever seen.
We'll give him that.
That was really classic.
Up next is at Arizona, 87% chance to win. I think that they win easily. In fact, I don't see these last three teams giving them much of a problem, in my opinion. But Arizona, I think they win big over them and keep up the winning trek there. I've only got them with the one loss. But, Mike, have you got them having a competitive matchup with Arizona or blowout city?
I think Arizona's on their way down, too. That's not close. I don't say. I mean, after schedule right now, the only game I see that could give them problems is maybe the ASU game. But that's I think every other team they play is going to be a game where Oregon really has to play bad. Really has to play bad, and some bad things to happen to lose.
Well, you guys have them pretty much. I'm not going to roll through the rest of the games. The last game on the schedule might be interesting, though, and that is at Utah, where they're only a 69% chance, according to FPI, to win that game. I mean, I guess technically, according to this, that's the toughest game on their schedule. I mean, is the Pac-12 really that bad? Where, I mean, Oregon's just so much ahead of everybody else? Because that's what I'm seeing here. I don't think there's another team that can really compete with them truly. And I pick them with the one loss, but I pick them with the loss of, they just stumble,
I think the Pac-12 is that bad, which is why Oregon's their only chance at, I think Oregon's good enough to win a national championship this year. I think they can. I mean, I really like this. Shuck kids be good. Their defense is going to be good. That's kind of been the knock against Pac-12 teams because they play defense. I think their offense is really good. I mean, I think Oregon can beat a Bama or beat a Clemson to get to the playoffs. The problem is that will they get into the playoffs? I mean, the before this whole crap happened, the Ohio State game was kind of their ticket to the playoffs.
That was a knockout game, in my opinion. It really was a knockout game.
Yeah, so I mean, but like in the past, though, without the Ohio State now, if they run a roughshod over the Pac-12, I'm not sure they're going to get in because they're going to say, well, it's Pac-12. I mean, who they really beat, And that's the issue where the Ohio State game, I really think it hurts them in a way. I think they're one of the four best teams in the country. If that's the best, I think they could lay claim. I think Bama is better than they are, but it wouldn't shock me to see them beat Bama. But I'm not sure they're going to get the shot now because I think they're not going to – they're going to be kind of penalized for their crappy conference when, in fact, maybe, they could have beaten Ohio State. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Ohio State would have came out there and kicked their ass. And then if that happened, you go, man, the Pac-12 really does suck because Oregon's the best team by far and Ohio State just waxed their balls on their home field. So, I mean, it could have went that way too. So,
yeah. Kel, what do you think about the Pac-12, man? Competitive or not? Besides freaking Oregon.
No, I mean, it's really not. I mean, it looks like a bunch of teams that you got a bunch of rebuilding teams like the Utah, the Arizona States of the world, the Washington States of the world. All these teams are the Washingtons of the world. They're all like in flux. I mean, some of the ones that seem like they're returning some starters are the teams that just really aren't that talented. So, yeah, I think Oregon goes undefeated against the schedule and runs through it, even though it's tough to go undefeated. I mean, I think it's just a product of, I mean, look at the competition around you. I mean, no one compares. I mean, they are the Taters of the Pac-12. They really are.
Couple of comments here. Brock says he wonders how well Jake Bentley will play, the former South Carolina quarterback out at Utah. Probably a lot better than he played in South Carolina.
20 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
NFL GMs be drooling over him. Mark it down.
Holy shit.
Looking
over here, Alex says, didn't a Pac-12 team beat an SEC team last year? Yeah, I don't know. Hey, you're talking about Arizona State and Ole Miss? If you're really propping that up as your thing to say that your conference is a lot better, your conference is shit. Ole Miss is a third level SEC team at best.
Cal beat Ole Miss by like a point.
Let's put it this way: Alabama was supposed to play Southern Cal this year, and trust me, Bama would have wiped their ass.
Yeah, Edwin's talking about.
And Southern Cal is probably the second best team in the Pac-12.
Right.
Now, Bama and Oregon play? I don't know. I'm probably thinking Bama, but Oregon could probably hang with Bama, I think.
Yeah.
But just the fact the drop-off that Southern Cal would get their ass punched in bad against Bama.
Yeah. I'll even go further than that. I think Florida would bitch slap Southern Cal. I think LSU would bitch slap Southern Cal. Who else could I think would bitch slap?
The Gamecocks them? Would bitch slap Southern Cal.
Let's not Gamecocks get crazy. Let's not Gamecocks get crazy here. Yeah, you guys
okay,
are
okay. Beat them by 10.
Beat them by 10. Okay. There was one thing that I wanted to get into before we get out of here. Tomorrow at 9 a.m., the ACC releases their schedule. And I want to give folks a minute to call in, by the way. If you want to call in, and we'll put the phone number out there as we finish up this episode. But the ACC is releasing their schedule. And it's interesting in that... one of the things that is different from what the ACC is doing compared to the other conferences, and I'm not necessarily sure that I agree with this, but they are they're starting their season earlier than everybody else. Everybody else is pretty much doing on like the 26th, I think, is the date that they're starting for the other four Power Five conference teams. With the ACC, though, they're starting theirs a lot earlier, and I've heard there's talk that they may start their season like as early as the 7th. I don't think that's a good idea, in my opinion, but then again, I'm not the one up there in an actual boardroom looking at this stuff, but I wanted to bring it up to you guys because if there is like a two-week window there, I think the ACC should jump and schedule some big games. Meaning, why not put out like your bigger matchups? You could have Notre Dame and North Carolina. Why not go with that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Have some of those big games early to get kind of the football appetite out there a little bit. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, you know, I mean, it's pretty crazy how what happens. But, you know, I said last week that the reason why the SEC is waiting longer is because they don't want to be the one shit show, okay? Right. And maybe there won't be a shit show. Maybe this bit pulls off, okay? And if it does, you know, kudos to them. But there's a good chance it doesn't pull off well. And you know, it's going to look like a shit show for the schools that go. And they get infected, they have to cancel the game, or what are they going to do? And the SEC doesn't want to do that, so they're going to sit back and wait and watch their conferences in the NFL go first and try doing it. But we'll see. But yeah, in a perfect world, if we get through this whole season and things work out, then yeah, you definitely take advantage of that window where you're the only game in town, so to speak. And I would definitely kind of put up the big games in your conference to kind of grab the audience and kind of take the narrative of the college football season going forward. Yeah, and that's what all works. Now, it could backfire if you see all of a sudden 19 kids with the COVID and...
Yeah, but
you know, you've got
my thing
then
is,
it becomes like, oh Jesus!
If you're playing that game, if you're playing that game anyway, you know what I'm saying? You might as well have something that is good out there and just have at it, man. In my opinion, but I don't know. We'll get the full schedule tomorrow for the ACC. The Big Ten released their schedule today. One of the things that was interesting about that is that we will not have the traditional Rivalry Friday game of Michigan and Ohio State. They're going to play like on October the 24th, which is crazy when you really stop and think about it. But October the 24th for Michigan and Ohio State. So there you go with that. Your thoughts on that, gentlemen? No one cares.
It just sucks. I care. Listen, we mock the Big Ten, but what college football is great about college football is the tradition, you know. And I don't care. You know, we mock the Big Ten, but I love watching Ohio State, Michigan, the noon game, those uniforms on the field, late fall. I mean, it's a great day. And to think, I mean, listen, this year is just crappy. And I keep on telling myself, as bad as this year is, how great it's going to be when we get back to normal. And, you know, and this year won't be normal, but next college football season, knock on wood, is normal. And how cool is it going to be to get back to what we're used to, back to the full 12 games, back to Clemson, Carolina, back to no one will have a playoff, back to all these things in here, back to having crowds and tailgating and all that stuff too. So I keep on telling myself that as crappy as this year has been, and this season's going to be probably, how great it's going to be. You know, I think we've kind of taken it for granted a little bit, and so that's a good thing. But this year, yeah, it just sucks.
Hi, Daddy.
Yeah, just one more sucks. Thing that sucks about this year.
Dad. Final call for calls, 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905. As my son strangles me. 803-470-2905 is the number to call. Wah, 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 wah. Not going to work. Anyway, that's the number you can call if you want to reach out to us here on the show. Brock Lee with a great comment there. He says the Pac-12 is better than the ACC right now. I disagree on the front of with Notre Dame in the ACC. I think the ACC has a 1-2 and possibly a 3 punch with North Carolina. After Oregon, it kind of slopes downhill really fucking quick. So you would have a lot more better argument if Notre Dame wasn't in the conference this year, but as of right now.
And Brock, yeah.
Go ahead. What, Mike?
Brock Lee had an earlier comment that I thought was good, too. Brock Lee had an earlier comment. He says, if they leave an undefeated Oregon out because they're in the Pac-12, would be hypocritical considering Clemson going to be a top 25 team last year out of Virginia. And that's true. The problem with it is that, and listen, you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to judge a team on that season. But Clemson gets the benefit of the doubt because of what they've done the past few years and the fact they've beaten Bama twice. Okay? And so because of that, they get the benefit of the doubt, even though you're right. Their conference is shitty, and for all intents and purposes, Oregon going undefeated in the Pac-12 is just as impressive as going undefeated in the ACC. But because Clemson has that kind of recent success, that you're just trained to think, well, yeah, they're actually their conference does suck, but they're legit. And Oregon doesn't really have that. They've had success, but they haven't. You know, they played Auburn a few years ago in the championship game and lost. I mean, they're a pretty close game, but they haven't done that. You know, and so that's the issue. So Clemson gets the benefit of the doubt, unfortunately. Because they go to the playoffs, they beat Ohio State, they beat Notre Dame, and they beat Alabama, and so they get the benefit of the doubt. So, I mean, you're right, though. It is hypocritical, but they're judging based on past years.
Well, there you go with that. I don't want to try to get into the whole thing right now with – I don't really like the whole one conference is better than the other. I don't really get into all that. I think you go team by team is the best way to go, but – something else that might be interesting, I was talking with former Gamecock assistant Eric Wilson today, and he said that what happens if we go away from divisions in the SEC? That could get really interesting, too, because in theory, you could have an SEC championship game where you really could have basically the two best teams. And when I think about that, I kind of like that. But then the other end of it, too, is that you could end up with a matchup in the SEC championship game where you could end up knocking out one of your teams. You could really screw your team out of a college football playoff berth on the other route as far as the conference goes. But I kind of like the idea of no divisions. Why not have the best matchup? Makes sense, right?
Well, this is one of the things, too, that as crappy as this shit is, yeah, as crappy as this shit is, I'm hoping that a lot of these things that we're doing now get kind of drafted over until the normalcy. Like, right. I'm hoping that this spurs on in the future. If we have the season, because people are excited about the idea of a 10 conference. I know I am. I forget the Clemson Carolina thing. I know people are pissed about that. But the idea you're playing 10 conference games, I think people are like, the thought of that, like, man, that'd be unreal. And I think you're going to see that happen. I think in the future, you're going to see that happen, especially if we play a year this year and they get unbelievable TV ratings. Ooh, I love this. I think you're going to see that. And one of the things you might see as well is get rid of the divisions. You know, get rid of the divisions and have a the rotation. You're not, like, waiting so long to play certain teams. But I think there will be some good that comes out of this shithole shit fest year, and that you're going to see some changes that are going to make more sense, like the fact of no divisions, like the fact of more conference games, and maybe the Power Five breaking away from the NCAA down the road. So there might be some good things that happen in college football because of this shit fest.
Yeah, there you go with that. So,
well, speaking of shit fest, real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Speaking of shit fest, real quick. 2020, okay, how bad it is. So today, I opened my wallet up, okay, and to see what money I had in there. I had like $11 in there, okay, and I was going to send it to the ATM. And as I'm going through my ones, I went to the store the other day, got change back. I noticed that one of my dollar bills has a Clemson paw stamp on it.
Yep.
Okay.
Tradition.
And I really think this should be a federal offense. I think it should be a federal offense to deface money. It should be a public execution. You know, and I think that should be taken care of. So I hope my congressman get on with this, write a bill that and track down who put the stamp on this money and have them hung in the community, socially distancing, of course. So I saw that today. Ruined my whole day. What a crappy year it's been. First time I had it happen.
Let's head on to the
phones. I've heard about this crap, but first time it's happened.
Yeah.
Crap.
Out to the phones we go as we move along here, connecting there. Good evening. Welcome into the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. What do you got for the program?
I'm flying the helicopter.
Hello. Welcome to the program.
I'm not sure I have anything.
Okay. Well, speak. It's your time, man. Spill it.
What's up?
Yeah, go ahead, man. What you got?
Oh, okay. I just have a couple of things. there is such thing as conferences being better than other conferences. It's pretty apparent. It's self-evident. When you look at the ACC, there's nothing that excites Clemson fans more than playing an all-ACC schedule with Notre Dame losers joining along for the ride this year, because then they can actually have an argument to prove to the world that they're worth something in the ACC. Can you name me who's the second-best team in the ACC, sir?
As of right now, I think North Carolina is the second best team in the ACC. But to go against your first point here, Clemson doesn't give a shit who they play. It's all about Clemson. So, but continue. Go ahead.
Well, of course, like
that's a great phone call so far. Good job
about who they play, because if of course they give a crap about who they have to play, because if they had to play teams that were actually competitive and could compete with the sort of talent that they had, they would be embarrassed year after year, just like every other team in the SEC, the Big Ten, might I even say the Big 12, or even the Pac-12 has to face every year. So, sir, please excuse yourself from some illogical perception about Clemson football as it relates to ACC football. The ACC is basically Florida high school 3A level type play. I mean, you got Miami, they're losing the Duke, they can't score a touchdown in their bowl game. Florida State has fielded a team that's incapable of proving anything to the world since they lost Jameis Winston. North Carolina had a nice little game with South Carolina last year, but can you tell me what else they did, sir? Didn't they lose six games or five games in their conference?
They lost, six games by 17 points? So under your logic, you think Clemson would be in any other...
Hold on, sir.
Really?
Hold on, sir.
They also won like five games by
touchdown or two touchdowns.
20 points combined. No,
let me make it very simple for you, sir. All right, because you have this whole thing, and it's called what it's called is what it's called, sir. Since we are being polite to each other, is it's SEC circle jerk syndrome. That's exactly what it's called. You grew up thinking the SEC is the absolute best ever. Hold on, sir. I allowed you to speak and fill up our show with bullshit, so you can calm down for about 15 seconds. Okay? You have this whole concept when you were growing up that the SEC was just the greatest thing ever. And in reality, let's be honest, you have what? Two really good teams over in the SEC right now? And the rest of them are mediocre at best. Stop coming at me with, we have the best conference in the world. And you're going to tell me that South Carolina, Mizzou, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, all these other teams that really aren't worth a shit, we're all supposed to be fucking scared of? Clemson beats the shit out of all those teams. So stop with that nonsense. There are two teams that can compete with Clemson in the SEC. It's Alabama and LSU. The rest are bitches. I'm being completely honest. Now, go ahead, sir. Well, anything else you have for the program, have at it.
I do, sir. Did I ever say I was an SEC fan?
Which SEC? You sound just like a typical SEC fan, sir. What conference are you talking about? Clemson would dominate any conference that they're in. You want to talk about the Pac-12? You think Clemson can't compete in the Pac-12? How about the Big Ten? The Big Ten?
I said that
use your
the
words.
SEC, the Big Ten, and even the Big 12, and might I say the Pac-12, have more competition than the ACC.
No,
that's
they
what
don't.
I said, sir. You assigned an SEC team to my name.
Sure. Well, let me help you with this. Since we want to talk about things like that, since 2013, the ACC has three national titles.
Please
does the Pac-12
me,
have that? Does the Big 12 have that?
No.
I'll wait.
Clemson does.
You're absolutely wrong on that. Clemson and Florida State have the three national titles, sir. If you're going to call up here and try to debate, at least have your facts correct, sir. At least know what you're talking about. Okay? I'm fucking great at this. I was on debate team and everything else in high school. You can't win here, sir. The only one that wins debates with me is this goddamn Russian who's kicked back laughing at you. Are you finished?
Well, if you were on a debate team, sir, then
yep.
You should.
I think that's a great call. I think this caller dropped all kinds of facts.
When rebutting people's responses.
I've given you plenty of time, sir, and all you can say is Clemson can't compete in the Pac-12. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? Clemson can't compete in the Big Ten. What happened to the last time Clemson played a team from the Big Ten? How'd that work out for them?
Mr. Debate Team.
Sure.
Mr. I was on the
refs,
debate team.
The refs,
you had a debate
game.
Fuck you, Kale.
Opportunity to rebut the things that you said.
Sure, have at it. I'll turn my microphone off. Go ahead, sir.
Myself.
No, I'm not asking you to do anything. So you don't need to try to compel me to give you an argument against what you're saying. What you're saying is complete nonsense because I didn't say what you said that I said. I said that Clemson would love nothing more than to play this kind of throw-together ACC schedule with a bootleg team like Notre Dame thrown in the mix because it'll make you feel like you can justify the fact that your conference is horrible, period. Period. South Carolina beat Georgia, son.
Good job.
Can you do that?
Are you done?
Beat Georgia.
Factual.
Sure, I'm done.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling to the program.
But what's your name? What's your name, sir?
I'm done with your congenital facility, you filthy Clemson fan.
Sure. Are you finished, sir? Okay, there you go. He ended the call.
Thank you for calling in and putting Rob in his place.
To answer Brock's question, my son is playing Grand Theft Auto. Second of all, Comrade needs to stop calling in from his headset and spewing stuff. Sir, first of all, we appreciate you joining the show. You are always welcome, as is everybody else.
Call every show.
Yeah, you're welcome to call in, but make sure that you have something that's going to work for you, because you don't know what you're talking about. That was great. That was a comrade call. Way to get in there, Kale, and help out your co-host. The refs helped them. What the fuck, Kale? I expected better of you. Anyway.
What?
Yeah, I just expected better.
You're showing off my neck beard.
Your neck beard's hot. All right. Does anybody else want to call in a final call for calls here? Sunday, what do you guys want to talk about on Sunday? Are we going to preview? You know what we'll do on Sunday? We will have the full SEC. We should have the full SEC and the ACC schedule by Sunday. So we will go over both. So that sounds like a good way to go. Edwin says Clemson obliterates the Pac-12 or the Big 12. They'll win the Big 10 95% of the time. They'd be one of the top three or four in the SEC every year. Yeah, Edwin, I mean, I know that you're an LSU fan. Maybe that caller could – he doesn't have to call up here. And by the way, he said I'm a foul-mouthed Clemson fan. Okay. Whatever.
You are. I am. Clemson.
I am a foul-mouthed Clemson fan. I stand by that. All right, gentlemen, anything else for the show?
Don't shut down in here.
Yes, no, maybe. You guys done?
Yes, I'm good.
What you got, Kale?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I'm nothing.
Kale's tired. I can tell Kale's tired. With that, this show is a wrap.
I'm not tired. We got...
I understand. All right. Hey, man, thanks, guys. I appreciate you all. Thanks to the guys watching over here in the chat room, man. You guys rock. We'll talk to you later on. Y'all have a good night.
Bye, guys.
I love how people call me a foul-mouthed Clemson fan. That's great. I'm trying to end the broadcast. It won't let me end it. There we go.